Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 333. As this week, we bring you the second hour of WCW Monday Nitro for September 27, 1999. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined by... I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Valley, Jim.
Valley, I'm doing it to keep him from crying here, okay? Hello, you people. I'm Pat McNeil, joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. Jim will be with us to start the show for a few minutes. He is regaining his life, and that apparently takes some time. I've never had to recover from death before, Jim. So I'm going to take your word for it as to how this goes. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I've been home about a week now. For those who don't know, I've been in the hospital for the last 5 months. I went in on August 24th and came out last week, so just days short of 5 months in various hospitals and rehab. So very nice to be home with my wife and to be home in an environment where they don't wake you up every couple hours. So no, yeah, it's been fantastic. Be nice.
Okay, great. So how is the work progressing?
Work is good, you know. I mean, I do my therapy every day. I work on my legs. You know, I still use a walker right now, but, you know, this is it's a rare autoimmune disease that I have. It is not COVID. No COVID. It's a rare autoimmune disease. I've known about it since 2012. I've dealt with this before. It's probably worse now, but I've dealt with it before. So, you know, I'm learning how to walk again. My voice is coming back. Learning how to talk, eat, drink, swallow, all that fun stuff. And, you know, just it takes a little time. It takes longer than you want it to, but you've just got to be patient and not rush it and not get discouraged. Just kind of enjoy things, even shows like this Nitro. You've got to find a way to enjoy it.
I'm glad. So how much of this Nitro have you watched?
I've watched it. I had to call the hospital. They almost put me back in.
Yeah. But I can understand.
I'm not saying it's bad, but Wonder Woman might have been better. 1984.
Ouch. Oh. Well.
That's.
For a slightly opposing viewpoint, the gentleman who is our guest host this week, let's welcome Brad Kane, better known to most of you as former WCW legend Lodi. Lodi, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, man.
Can I say something real quick? Yeah. I don't know you, Lodi, but I always appreciated your work on Nitro. You always had a lot of passion and enthusiasm, I thought, and creativity from a fan's point of view. And I always felt like you maximized your time. And I always enjoyed your work. And, you know, I see some of your stuff on Independence. You keep yourself in great shape, and I always appreciate people that are there for the passion of whatever it is they do and not just there to necessarily collect a paycheck. So I just want to say that I had a lot of respect for you and all the work that you did on Nitro.
Thank you so much. That's very awesome to hear. So thank you. That was great.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we do appreciate you, Lodi, and Lodi did a good job. I don't know if you heard it, Jim. We did an episode. We did the Thanksgiving episode, and we did an episode of World Class, which I think was very well received in the Sportatorium.
Oh my gosh! Speaking of World Class,
yes.
I'm reading the Lance Von Erich book right now. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's a pretty good book.
Wow. Okay, I'm gonna have to. All right, you're gonna send me a link, and I will definitely have to buy it or check it out somehow.
Yeah,
okay,
that's good. Land by chance, lots of good stories. He kind of tells it the way he remembers. He's not looking down on things, just very matter of fact. But I think, you know, from his perspective, very open and honest, and pretty good stuff.
Okay, now this is from a Lodi. I know that you didn't wrestle on this particular Nitro from the Phillips Arena, but you know, you and Lenny were together, and I kind of remember, was this the era where pretty much everybody was being sent, was being flown to Nitro, whether, and they figured out what they were going to do later?
Yes, sir. I was watching this earlier and flipped through some of the episodes, and I realized three episodes before this one, I think I wrestled Evan Courageous. So I was just looking through and trying to get the time frame right in my head. But right. Yeah, this was one of those times where we were flying way too many guys in and planning the show on the fly at the last moment. The way it seemed and the way we knew it was going down. So a lot of money being wasted during this time.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summary of the second half of 1999 in WCW. Jim, while we're here, we'll go through what was going on at this point in time, September 27th, 1999. It was a Monday. Your New York Times bestsellers in the fiction category, the first week for Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban by J.K. Rowling, and the 101st week on the charts for the nonfiction number one book, Tuesdays with Morrie by Mitch Albom. Tuesdays with Morrie could still be going on for all I know. I haven't seen it. Okay, now this will be this is sort of a test, Jim, of your musical knowledge. Do you remember what the number one Billboard song was in September of 1999? It was in its second week on the charts.
September 99.
And there is sort of a wrestling tie-in, sort of.
Gosh, you know, I don't know. I can't think of. I'm trying to think of trends. It's hard to remember. What is it, Pat?
It was called Unpretty by TLC.
Oh, I love TLC. God, they were great.
Yep. Well, it's yeah, they're that's something you can't get anymore. Meanwhile, the top movie in the country, September 27, 1999, in its first week out at number one, Double Jeopardy with Ashley Judd and Tommy Lee Jones. A perfectly good film.
Before Harvey Weinstein killed Ashley Judd's career, dead.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
She was good in movies. I liked her movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was good. All right. I don't know what the top news story is, but the most entertaining news story on this date in 1999, Dan Quayle officially dropped out of the 2000 presidential race.
Well, you know, he couldn't spell potato. You don't want a scandal that bad because
that's right, because you know scandals are just horrible. He could have shown up in a tan suit for all I know. You know that would.
Good Lord, can you imagine? That killed the guy's career. That did, of all the things, and yep. All the scandals we've seen from various politicians since then.
That was the death blow. I mean, it's a good thing that. It's a good thing that he's his family are millionaires. Otherwise, that could be a problem. Okay. Also, this game was also Nitro was on against Monday Night Football, which coincidentally drew a 13.2 rating on ABC for the San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals. This was a career game for a certain Lawrence Phillips of the 49ers. 9 carries, 102 yards, and a touchdown. He also missed a block, which caused Aeneas Williams of the Cardinals to knock out Hall of Fame quarterback Steve Young, give him a concussion, and end his NFL career. Phillips is better known for something else. Lodi, are you?
Wasn't he at WrestleMania 11?
No, not. No, Lawrence Phillips was not at WrestleMania 11. Lawrence Phillips. What's that? Oh, you're done. You're not a sports guy. No. Lawrence Phillips, better known for the 2 arrests and the 2 assaults that he was convicted for and the murder that he was about to be tried for before he hung himself in a cell. So that was not exactly a fun one. On a happier note, the 24th, which was the Monday, September 24th, 1999, UFC 22 in Lake Charles, Louisiana, in front of 4,000. The main event, considered one of the best in UFC history, Frank Shamrock beats Tito Ortiz by submission in the 4th round to keep the middleweight title. Also on the undercard, some guy named Chuck Liddell defeated Paul Jones with a 1st-round knockout. No, I don't think it was that Paul Jones, though.
No, the Russian assassins.
Yeah. All right, but that is where we are. Jim, okay, I want to remind everybody, Wayback Playback, our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Also, Jim Valley Fundraiser, it's at gofundme.com/f/Jim-Valley-Fundraiser. I'm told if you're in the hospital for like 5 months, you might have some medical bills.
Jeez, you wouldn't believe it. I get some medical bills. Insurance, deductibles. All that fun stuff. It's like, okay, it's a new year, so this rolls over. No, wait, it doesn't. Oh, yes, it does. And there's always, I don't know if you know this or not, but a lot of times you get a lot of misinformation about insurance. Shocking.
Really? From the insurance company?
Hmm. Who knew?
Somebody ought to do something about that. I'm going to call my congressman and President Biden any second now. All right, Jim. Well, listen, thank you for taking the time out to be with us. Next week, maybe you can be on for a little longer as we get to hour number three of this. And yes, that's the goal. We've missed you a lot.
I missed you too. It's good to talk to you guys. Have a great show.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Bye.
Bye. It's another commercial break, and I'd like to talk about our sponsor, Kenentech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine, located at kenentech.com, KENANDTEK.com. Be sure to check them out. Also, if you have not participated in the fundraiser for Jim Valley set up by Josh Nason of Wrestling Observer website and Figure Four Online, go to GoFundMe.com/F/Jim-Valley-Fundraiser. As of today, $67,514 raised. Still more to go because Jim has been out of action for a long, long time. So whatever you can afford to give, go ahead and do that there. And also, yes, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. For as low as $4.50 a month, you can get all of our new episodes early and without commercials. And you can get bonus matches that we do, bonus episodes, extra stuff that we've pulled out from the past. There's various tiers that you can go to on that. But for $4.50 a month, you can get all of our past episodes. You can get every one of our new episodes in advance and commercial-free. And that's what you want. And that will cover all 331 episodes. It's a great deal, and no one else can give it to you. Thanks to our friends at Pro Wrestling Torch for helping us out with this. It is, of course, patreon.com/waybackplayback, and I think once Jim gets back, our patron will only get better. All right, now, Lodi, we're at 44 minutes and 49 seconds after watching hour one of this Nitro last week, and I've got Doug Dillinger standing in front of Goldberg's door in the restricted area. Are you there also?
Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody, we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, here we are. So I never asked you this, but Doug Dillinger, on a few occasions when we as fans would interact with him, he never seemed to know what was going on. So are you going to no comment me on that?
No, I'm thinking that might have been an act. He was smarter than you let on.
Okay, well, that's good. For his sake, I'm glad. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. We're going through this.
Doug was actually, when we were in the flock, he was in charge of letting me know every TV where the flock was going to sit in the crowd.
Oh, hey.
I had to always go find him. And so we always spoke, but I had to ask him where they were going to put us.
So he's got a little, yeah, he had to have a little bit on the ball.
Lions
to the Super Bowl. How about never? Jeez.
Okay, they are, hey, right there, the long hair and the second or third row. This is a guy from Leonard Skinner.
Yeah. Well, it's Atlanta. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Buck Daddy. Oh man. K-Dog. Yep. I mean, you know, 11th. I mean, yeah, not at your peak, but 11,000 screaming fans is pretty good. Kick off your second hour of Nitro. Go up against the start of Raw. And you bring out the big gun, Bill Goldberg. Yeah. So Bobby Heenan mentions the two big rock stars he can think of that wouldn't get an ovation like Goldberg does. And the two big rock stars he thought of were Elton John and Cher. Well, I mean, now they are, you know, I mean, they're still stars today, but, you know, Sid can't count. Well, that's true.
Here we go. Would have to be the right crowd for those guys to get over.
Yeah. All right. It's definitely, yeah, I don't think they'd get over in front of this crowd and probably vice versa, so.
Right.
All right, Goldberg and Hugh Morris, the rematch from Goldberg's first Nitro win. Hugh Morris gets a shot, yeah. Now that's, this is some atmosphere.
Bill did not get enough credit for being a phenomenally great worker either.
No, he didn't. I was speaking of
Bill DeMott. Sorry.
Oh.
Hugh Morris.
Yeah, Bill DeMott. Well, no, he doesn't, and you're right.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding
people,
to.
I mean, a lot of people just remember him as the mean guy from Tough Enough, and, you know, that's
right.
I mean, he was original ECW. He was, let's see. You know, he worked in Japan. Yep. Did a heck of a job as Hugh Morris, or as and later as General Rection. I can't believe I have to say that, but that's true.
And he was always willing to help the young guys.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's what you need at that level.
A very helpful guy, a good friend. I like him a lot. And I trained with Goldberg at the power plant when we were there together. So okay. I have a fondness for Goldberg as well.
Well, yeah. So obviously he remembered you are and didn't kill you the few times you got in the ring with him. So
no, and did we discuss the night I broke my ankle psychosis? What Goldberg did?
What did he do?
I didn't know if we'd covered this in one of our past interviews or talks. I broke my ankle with psychosis, and so the way the ring was set up, we had to go to the entrance, and the locker room was all the way around the other side of the building. Walked up to me, had to go all the way around. Mm-hmm. So Mickey J, who's actually the ref right now, was our ref that night. He and the trainer carried me through the curtain, and when I came through the curtain, Bill had come from the locker room, and he scooped and pushed him out of the way, scooped me up, and carried me to the locker room himself. He said, "I saw you got hurt, and I came to get you."
So it was like an officer and a gentleman?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Weed. Oh, wow.
There you go.
Oh, look, Sid. What's Sid doing here?
He's got a chair.
Oh, I think referee Mickey J missed that completely somehow. Not sure how, but he missed it completely. So, I mean, it's kind of obvious that Goldberg is the star that people want to see at this point in 1999. And it's kind of obvious also that most of the show so far has been built around Hulk Hogan and Sting, which, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, and Hogan and Sting are big stars, but
they're big stars. But there was a whole lot of the shows back then. And this is just my criticism of the company. They really spent, I thought, way too much time talking about the main event during the other matches as opposed to what was going on to make some of these matches have a little more importance to them. So yeah, it was instead of commentating and calling these matches, they talked more about what was going to happen in the main event 3 hours later.
Yes, I think that's a fair statement. But I was reading the newsletters from this era, and apparently Bill Bush met with the wrestlers after Bischoff was gone and decided that the young wrestlers deserve more of a chance. I don't think this obviously wasn't a long-term thing because I think about 7 days after this, they hired Vince Russo, but it's a good idea. Well, actually, Russo did like the young guys.
He pushed a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, he tried to. So.
You can get pushed and still not get over.
Yeah, that's true.
Right in front of the referee. Hugh Morris, right. What are you doing?
Ooh.
Don't cheat in front of the ref. Whoa.
No, make the ref look, yeah.
Exactly. Put the heat on the ref then. Why didn't disqualify you?
Oh, good grief. There we go. All right. There's Hugh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, having said there, let them drag out this match a bit longer because, you know, at this point, it would have been they could have just wrapped the match in the usual Goldberg fashion without Sid out there.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. Time cap. All right, so the amazing part of this is, let's see, yeah, I don't think Goldberg, after getting screwed by Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and losing the title, he got a title shot the next year at Starrcade, but he never actually won the title back.
Right.
Now, there's a moonsault.
Such a thing of beauty.
Yep.
For a man that big and to land an assault as he did was always amazing to me.
Yes, it was. I mean, that's, you know, back in the early to mid-90s, people had seen Vader do the moonsault. The fact that somebody the size of Bill DeMott could do one.
Right.
Up. There you go.
All right.
That's perfect. Yep. Here he is. Okay.
If you weren't in the building and didn't hear it live, I think it's hard to truly imagine or understand how over Bill Goldberg was with a live crowd.
Boom. There he is. And looking it up, Goldberg and Sid were headlining the house shows around this time, because I don't think Sting and Hogan were doing any house shows.
I'm sure Hogan was not. Sting may have done some at some point, but I am absolutely positive Hogan was not doing them at this point.
I think Sting's contract, there were a certain maximum number of appearances,
right?
Which is part of the reason why they went through the whole 19. Yeah, there was that whole part of the reason there was the long stretch without Sting wrestling. So, I mean, a good way to make sure that, obviously the priority was to get Sting on TV and on pay-per-views. So if he misses some house shows, that's.
Yeah.
All right. There he is. Yep. Okay, he's inviting Sid. Come on out. There you go.
Hey, look at those two.
Yeah. All right. Come on, Sid. It's not who's last, it's who's next. Okay. So where's Sid? Will he answer the challenge? Nope. I guess Goldberg's not going to stick around for him to answer the challenge.
That's it. Challenge somebody, then walk to the back.
Yep. Well, we got a commercial coming up or something, yeah?
That's right.
Yes, you got to have your priorities straight here. Okay. Open challenge to Sid Vicious. I think they're going to face off at Halloween Havoc. I think we've already seen that in the first hour. Okay. Yep. And Bobby Heenan's looking forward to it. Oh, is Hulk Hogan leaving in the ambulance? Oh, no.
That was after his second attack by Sting.
That was after the second attack by Sting, which made us laugh out loud last week. Audition forms. We're auditioning for Nitro Girls. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure this will keep the fans' attention. Yep. Yeah, apparently these segments, as well-intentioned as they were like ratings death.
I am sure of it.
The search for the new Nitro Girl is on. Okay, I'm trying to remember who won that. Cincinnati's Nitro Girl, okay. Are we going to see Atlanta's Nitro Girl candidate?
There are going to be two of them.
Okay.
And that comes up. I've already watched.
Oh, well, you're ready. There's Kimberly. Okay. Hi. All right. Okay. All right. So they've got the two choices. There's a, okay, let's see them in action. Action means dancing, right?
That's what it means, Pat.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Andre. Salentria? Oh, she's Miss Gwinnett County. Okay. Yeah. All right, well, that's great. I'm sure the XFL's hiring cheerleaders.
I don't like the fact they named her after a condiment.
Okay. All right, Jamie. You know, I can see wrestling fans being really interested in Jamie talking about how much she loves and admires her mom.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, she likes to go to the clubs and express her feelings through dance. Okay. Well, that's nice.
I can understand how some wrestling fans would probably be turned off right now.
Click, yeah. What's on Raw? Click.
Yes.
All right, Salentria and Jamie, hi. Yeah, okay. All right, hi, ladies. Okay. All right, and now what they're going to do, they're going to haze them? What are we doing here? Oh, they're voting on WCW.com. Yeah. Okay. You can call the 888 number.
Is that the former 1-900 number?
No, not the 900 number. There's an 888 number.
Yes.
You can call in to cast your vote. Mm. Or you can vote on – that's in case you couldn't vote on WCW.com because you didn't have internet.
Right.
This probably was the 90s.
Probably on dial-up.
Yes. They're so talented. You know, after this, maybe we can follow it up with Jimmy Hart challenging local DJs. They did that, for those people who don't know. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Try it in Kansas City next week. And they're going to be at the Have a Nice Day Cafe for the tryout. So Mick Foley's got his own chain of restaurants in 1999. That's amazing. Okay. Wow. $10,000. Wow. That's a good signing bonus. Okay. Well, I think Jamie can win for whitest teeth. I think that's pretty impressive. All right. Is there wrestling on this show, Lodi?
Let's hope there is really soon.
Yeah, I think we are having a big wrestling match coming up here. I think we are going to see two of the young guys get their opportunity. There you go. Here's a young guy.
Yes, it is.
That's Evan Courageous. Yes. Okay. Hey. I didn't even look to see what Evan Courageous is up to now.
He doesn't do many autograph signings or whatever. I think.
Well, it's 2021. Nobody's doing many autograph signings, but I know what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah, before COVID.
Yeah.
I want to say I think he may have shown up and done one at WrestleCade here in North Carolina last year, the year before.
Says he's from Gastonia. Yeah.
Yeah, he still resides in Gastonia. I'm pretty sure.
I dated a girl from Gastonia in college.
Oh wow.
Well, I don't think she's there anymore. Yeah, and I don't think my wife would let me look her up anyway, so, you know. All right, here we go. Yeah, here we go. So, oh, yeah, Courageous becomes Medusa's boyfriend, yes. Well, that's tough work, isn't it? Jeez. All right, oh. And became a member of Three Count, so his best years are ahead of him, I'd say.
Right.
Oh. Berlin. Yes.
So, much better as Alex Wright.
Yeah, Alex Wright was Alex Wright was kind of a goof, but I mean this shows off you know, Alex has developed some muscles and, you know, got some, he's got some size to him. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Berlin, Achtung, Achtung. Oh boy, he's going to feud with Brad Armstrong. Oh, well, actually, I mean, there's worse people to feud with. I mean, the Armstrongs were kind of a mainstay of WCW.
They were, and I mean, always loved working with Brad and Scott and all the guys.
Yeah. All right.
They were great hands, that's for sure.
All right.
Pat, how long have we been without any wrestling here, buddy?
Several minutes, I'd say. But Tony Schiavone did get to, but Tony and Bobby did get to mention that Leonard Skinner's playing the night after this at Phillips Arena.
Ah,
that's good. I hope the band at least comped him for that plug. Is this the wall with him?
It is the wall with him,
Jerry too.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it all is.
Right. Jerry. Okay. Yes. He's Berlin. There's a high-tech entrance.
They were so original with the names. You know, you got the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, that took all 5 seconds to come up with.
I'm thinking watching this live on TV and adding the commercial breaks back in. We've probably gone 30 minutes without wrestling, haven't we?
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Well, we had Goldberg's match. I mean, that was... still to come on this hour of Wayback Playback. Actually, we have the tag team title match. That's gonna be good. Here we go. And Van Hammer has challenged Sid for tonight on Nitro. So of course, this being WCW, that match will not happen.
No, that'll never happen.
Actually, yeah.
That's the big swerve.
Yeah, that is. Well, it's more of a little swerve. But Berlin hates Americans. Thank you. Welcome. Well, they really went all out in this character. Yeah, they ended up bringing him back as Alex Wright. Thank goodness.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then let's see. He went out his contract with AOL Time Warner, and wrestled in Germany every so often. And that was about it, right? Yep. And they're getting the fans to chant USA, so that's going for them. Berlin has demanded total silence for his match. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all right. So the idea was for Berlin to become a star or something, I guess. Was that actually the idea?
I think, you know, they would like for all of us to become stars. I don't know who's actually the creative mind behind this character.
Okay. Well, it wasn't you. That's all.
No, definitely wasn't me.
Supposedly during these few weeks after Bischoff was fired, the booking was done by a combination of Kevin Nash, Dusty Rhodes, and Kevin Sullivan. And I'm guessing I mean, actually that could work. You got three of them. You got 3 hours of Nitro. If each of them took an hour, you know, probably divide that up pretty quickly. Would there often be discussions about the ratings and how they were going during this time?
There was. I mean, you know, because with the sheets out, you know, we knew pretty quick, you know, what quarter hour had done what and who was over and who wasn't. And so we always knew where our quarter hour ratings were.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew at this point they were starting to decline.
Did management ever – like take notice of who was doing well in the quarter hours and not and act on it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
One thing that Lindy and I were always proud of in our segments when we were the West Hollywood Blondes, we had really good numbers, 4.4s, 4.5s, whatever. Yeah. And I say that knowing that we'd always compare ourselves and see what maybe Hogan and Bischoff were doing. 1.7s, 1.8s.
The first hour, which we saw last week, was unopposed, did a 4.1, which, you know, obviously obviously WWE would run over people with the semi truck to get that rating today, but yeah. Rating tends to drop a little bit once Raw goes on the air and there's some competition. Oh, here we go.
Always.
Hey. All right. Did you ever work either of these guys?
I did. I worked both of them. As a matter of fact, I think I was telling you, if you go back 3 weeks before this prime,
you're working actually, Evan Courageous.
I was working Evan, yes.
Okay, too.
Yep. And at some point, I had a tag match with Alex Wright, and I can't remember who he was with and who I was with. It may have been back during our Flock days.
Okay, that would make sense.
I'm trying to think of who he tagged with that would have. Maybe it was a Saturday night taping or something.
Yeah.
Not possible. Yeah,
you guys did work. I guess you guys were working the Saturday night. The Saturday night stuff was different, and, you know.
It wasn't. When it got down to the final days of WCW, it was really tough for them to get the even mid-card to upper guys to come out and do Saturday night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know at one point Jimmy Hart was in charge of a lot of the Saturday night stuff, and
right.
He would always so politely come up to TV and ask Lenny and I, we're like, hey guys, fellas, would you mind doing me a favor and sticking around, you know, on the loop this week and doing Saturday night for me? And Lenny and I wanted to work all the time. We're like, yeah, we're yeah. there. And he's like, he would thank us for
there we go.
Over and over. Another There's run in. Another run in.
Brad Armstrong. No, Brad Armstrong came in to save Evan Courageous. Brad Armstrong in a Chipper Jones jersey. And okay. And I guess Brad didn't think to bring his brothers along for this, huh?
No. Not smart thinking on Brad's part.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Yep. Oh, Brad. That's unfortunate. Okay, so, I mean, here's my question. These guys were under contract to WCW. Could you turn down being booked for Saturday night? Because it sounds like you could.
You could. You know, the top guys had a little more creative control than the rest of us.
Well, yeah.
It was kind of funny when, kind of, we always called it the Big 12 or the Big Dozen or whatever, all those guys, when they started pulling out of doing the Saturday nights, then the next level down kind of started to think, well, for example, if Lex and Sting aren't doing Saturday nights, I'm not going to do Saturday nights. Uh-huh. And it got to the point where a lot of the upper mid-card guys were not wanting to do Saturday night. And that's why, like I was telling you, when Jimmy would come up and ask us to do it, he acted at least – surprise. I mean, we said yes, and
it's national TV, you know. I mean, I mean, you don't want guys getting the idea that putting, you know, wrestling shows on national TV are not important. I don't know. Good. Oh, the West Texas Rednecks are out.
Yeah, here they come.
All right. So David Flair was on the phone searching for his girlfriend Tori Wilson. This is back before cell phones were a big thing. The West Texas Rednecks, since they got over as baby faces, they took away the rap as crap music and made them cut another theme. And they gave him Curly Bill.
Curly Bill.
Yep. Let's see. So this is going to be Kendall Windham and Barry Windham going after Harlem Heat in a rematch from Fall Brawl. But actually, what the story was that Kurt Hennig loved this gimmick and loved doing it.
Yes, I think he was having fun. And
yeah.
I like working with Kendall and Barry both. Kendall was one of my first ever opponents when I worked down in Florida doing the WCW Pro show that came on Saturday mornings.
Oh, yeah.
The one we filmed down in Orlando every 3 months.
Yeah.
One of my first trips down there as Brad Kane, just out of the power plant, I actually wrestled Kendall.
Oh, good. All right, here they are, the
hey.
They're the champs. Yeah. I mean, I think they were hurt a little bit by the fact that it was always so easy to go back to them as tag team champs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Booker T got past that, got his push. Oh, call the hotline.
There you go.
Back in a minute.
And the Canadian fan, the Canadian fans had a different number.
They don't even tell you what you're going to hear on the hotline. Okay. Yep. Yeah, Bobby Heenan thinks Harlem Heat's going to win. Bobby Heenan's apparently been watching these shows for the past few years. Okay, yeah. Bobby Duncan is not there. I don't see. I was one of the rednecks. I don't remember exactly when he passed away, but I'm gonna. All right, here's Barry Windham. There we go. They were underway. And this, I mean, they've managed to build the, you know, tag teams back up somewhat after Eric Bischoff let them wither and die.
I'm a big fan of tag team wrestling. If it's done correctly, there's so many cool things you can do. And,
oh, yeah.
And, I think that's a bit of a lost art because for some reason, you know, we know Vince is not a big fan of the tag teams in WWE. And, you know, they went through the period at WCW where they didn't use them a lot either. But I've always been a fan if they're done correctly by guys who understand the psychology and make sure they work as a team and not just two different singles matches inside of a tag match.
I think, you know, since the pandemic started, they were doing more tag team stuff, and they've got a women's dust version of the Dusty Classic on NXT. So, yeah. You know, gives you hope. And there are good tag teams in WWE. Plenty of them.
Your tag team champs now, Rude and Dolph.
Rude,
right?
And Ziggler, yeah. And, yeah. And the other. And Cedric Alexander and, Shelton, right?
Yep.
Good choices. I mean, the problem is they're not going to, you know, you're never going to get a tag title match like, you know, you never get tag title matches as high up as they were on the card, you know, at WCW at one point.
Right.
Yes. And part of it is once, you know, once a tag team gets over, they start looking at breaking them off and making them into single stars. And I guess they didn't quite. Well, Lenny's the cruiserweight title champion at this point, so you know something about that.
Right.
But they never really broke you guys up.
They did, you know, yeah. Not until we got in trouble with Glad. But Lenny, it was. They talked to both of us about the belt. They wanted one of us to have it. And at that point in our careers, I wanted to put it on Lenny because I just didn't think he had as much notoriety at that point as I had from the Flock. Mm-hmm. And I think it helped get him over more. And then, of course, we were together, so I think it was great for him.
Yeah. Yeah, there was really no point in breaking up the act to do it because you could be there for him.
Right.
Okay. We're also still talking about Hulk Hogan's knee injury. Don't worry, fans. Next week's show, we'll get that covered. Well, we'll have that main event. We'll have that hair versus mask match. Yep. And we're going to take a commercial break during the tag team title match. Obviously, if something happens during the break, the videotape machines are rolling. And blah, 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 blah. Okay, here we go. Okay. Yes. All right, the Rap is Crap Tour is doing very well, I guess. Now, I mean, the feud with them and the No Limit Soldiers, how long did it take for people to figure out that the No Limit Soldiers thing wasn't going to work?
I don't know about the fans. I think the boys figured it out immediately.
I mean, because Bischoff's going out there saying, hey, you know, we've got Master P and the No Limit Soldiers. Master P, we're going to fill the Superdome and the Georgia Dome and, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's not like the wrestling, you know, it's not like doing the wrestling slash concert thing hasn't been tried before. It just never seems to be as, you know, there never seems to be that much of the crossover audience.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you had Kiss out there performing live on Nitro and wrestling fans are like,
they paid to see wrestling. That's what they want to see.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, Booker T's getting the heat. Let's see here. Oh. Okay. Oh, no. Do you know what the idea was behind sticking Curly Bill with those guys, other than, you know, giving him something to do, I guess?
Giving him something to do is all I can imagine. Yeah. I remember this happening, but I don't remember the logic behind it.
Yep. All right. I got the camera. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. There we go. Yay. And, you know, I mean, nothing wrong with the Wyndham brothers, but, you know, you remember how good a tag team that Wyndham and Curt Hennig were.
Right.
Yeah.
Kendall was a decent hand in the ring, but he, I think, just lacked the charisma and that kind of thing to get over.
Right. I mean, he's got size to him. I remember, you know,
yeah,
we did one of those old Florida shows, Battle of the Belts, and Kendall Windham looked like a praying mantis out there. I mean, you know, he's in good shape, but he's just real skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, this is just... Well, again, I mean, they're getting a ton of heat on them.
They are, but you know, the whole 4-on-2 thing is getting a little old here.
Right. Yeah, Stevie Ray. Hello.
With the belt.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fans are really upset about that. All right, way to go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Barry Windham's down.
And that's the finish.
And that's the finish. The Heat wins. Well, I'm guessing they're teasing a split between these two. Well, actually, they did do a split. It would be it'd be after Russo gets there, but oh yeah, they did a split, and it was they did Booker feuding with Stevie, and it was horrible.
Here we go, the Yellow Pages.
Well, they kept the Yellow Pages backstage in the locker room, right?
Of course, by the phone.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you? It's calling a towing company. I wonder what's going on with that. Wow. Okay. Hey! Okay. Okay, so next week, Thunder will be on following Braves baseball. Got it? Okay. Okay, here we go. All right, so yes, so I guess Rick Steiner accepts the challenge of Van Hammer on behalf of his friend Sid Vicious.
Just trading places.
Yeah. Okay. And this will be your way back playback main event. Well, your final match anyway.
Right.
Yep. This is the nasty heel Rick Steiner. After everything he went through with his brother Scott, he just decided to become meaner.
He decided to be his real life character. Yeah. I love Rick. He was always great to work with.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he took good care of me, and then the fact that he's wrestling Hammer, a former Flock mate.
Right.
I had a always had good matches with Hammer as well.
Okay. He's a nightmare. Yep. Sid Vicious has better things to do than to fight Van Hammer. Yeah. For example, he's going to do a skit with Bill Goldberg. So. All right. Okay. That's not nice.
If you close your eyes and look away, he almost sounds like his brother.
Yeah, he did. Well, I mean, they could have been a heck of a heel tag team. There we go.
Oh, Hammer.
Oh, Hammer. Yes. So when I was in college, when I was at Clemson, we'd go to the tapings. This would be like 91 at the Georgia Mountain Center.
Yeah.
And Hammer was the rookie. He was doing that. He was doing the heavy metal gimmick. So every time Hammer hit the, you know, every time Hammer hit the ring, we, of course, being smart ass college kids, would go, "Oh, can't touch this." Oh, you know, any MC Hammer stuff we come up with.
I did not know you were a Clemson graduate.
Oh yes, yes, I am. Of course, the all time great Van Hammer moment was they, you know, we're there this one time and Hammer comes out and there's this teenage girl in the crowd and she holds up a sign that says, "Van Hammer, come drive my nails."
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think that one made TV.
Van Hammer was a rather large man in person.
Yes.
I don't know that his stature came across on TV as it did in real life. He was a giant.
I mean, yeah, you go in person, you see these guys in real life. It's just, you know, yeah. I mean, the guys are big that you don't think are big. And El Gigante walks the ring, you're like, holy crap.
Right.
Yeah. I remember it was a while ago. I went to a house show up in Maryland, and it's Kane versus Great Khali, and you have the smarter wrestling fan, oh my god, you know, this match is gonna die. But the fans in person, they see Kane come in the ring, whoa, and they see Khali come in the ring, whoa, and they, you know, and they lock up, and everybody's like, ugh, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the size shows up in a way live in a way that you don't really get on over the TV.
Right, right.
All right. Okay. Let's see, for up and up, over and out. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Well, I don't know that he got all of that, Lodi.
You know, for such a big man,
yeah.
Hammer's work was not super snug. He was a little light in the ring.
Yeah. All right. So this is sort of... So that they made him sort of a hippie at some point. Now he's back doing the red. I don't know what this is supposed to be.
I think this was before the hippie gimmick.
Yeah. Okay.
The hippie gimmick came under Russo and Ferrara.
Mm-hmm. Well, they need hippies. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, I mean, Bischoff's gone at this point. What do you guys have any idea what's going to happen? Are you getting any, you know,
as far as what's coming down the road, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, okay, Bischoff's, you know, Bischoff's gone. I mean, I guess Nash is the head booker, and Craig Leathers is running the TV side of things. But you don't, I mean, do you guys have any ideas what's going to happen next? Do you even think that there's somebody new coming in, or you're just like, I don't know, did we just show up?
I'm going to go more to the latter. We just show up and be happy we got a job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. As a matter of fact, when... trying to think, we got taken off TV right before Russo and Ferrara came in,
and that's not long after this.
Yeah, so we were about to get this during this little stretch. We were about to get in trouble with GLAAD, and they were going to pull us off TV for maybe 6 to 8 months. We were off for a while until they could leave.
And what happened with you guys? Wasn't that one of the things that led to Russo and Ferrara coming up with the standards and practices gimmick?
Yeah, which nobody got because it was an inside joke. It was kind of
super, I mean,
lame.
Inside jokes can be good if you set it up properly, but you know.
Right. They chose not to tell anybody what it was and explain it. So it was just kind of a horrible gimmick.
Right.
Yeah, but that was one of the ones that they had to. Oh.
That looks awful.
That was not the way you're supposed to land on that.
No. Sorry. That'll put you, jeez.
Rick was a little careless with that one.
Yeah, I'm going to say. I think the Quincy for president sign is for Quincy Carter, just to give you an idea of how long ago this was. Quincy Carter played football for the University of Georgia. Sorry. Yes. Oh, there we go. All right. Well, Hammer's, I mean, he's recovered. He's obviously got a strong neck. Yeah. Oh, there we go. All right, so what's he setting up for? Oh, that's right.
Now, explain this.
Explain this. Well, they needed Robinson to be out of position so he can miss the punch and the kick to the nads. But I don't know how he missed the kick to the nads.
He's selling his eyes, but he
always always a heel. That's right. He's a heel. I forgot. Bulldog off the top. There we go. All right, everybody. Hey, drive safely. Rick Steiner's your winner. Yeah. Fast count, according to Tony Schiavone. You think so? Really? Okay. Okay, so. All right. Oh, yeah. After this, I think we're going to wrap it up for the week. Okay.
Okay.
So Bret Hart got hit with a baseball bat by Lex Luger 2 weeks ago.
In the face.
In the face, yep. As one does. So he's fine, right? Well, it wasn't an aluminum bat, obviously. It was a rubber bat, I guess, or whatever, something. All right, I think that's what we're going to call it for this week. 1 hour, 28 minutes and 6 seconds. Is that right?
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Yeah, I think so, because we have it coming up. Yeah, and don't forget, coming up next week, we have both the main events, the mask versus hair match, and, of course, Bret Hart, Ric Flair, and possibly Hulk Hogan against Sting and Lex Luger and Diamond Dallas Page. I don't know anybody who wouldn't want to see that match, Lodi.
In their heyday? Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something different going on.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Obviously, if you'd like to know more about Rick Steiner and actually, let's do this first. I'm at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter. Jim is at Jim Valley. Lodi.
Lodi, the number one Brad. Lodi one Brad at Twitter, Instagram, all the same. Lodi one Brad.
And you're training guys, right?
I am. I've had a wrestling school now for about 2.5 years, and I absolutely love it, Pat. I've been blessed with a lot of really good guys, and we do it every Tuesday and Thursday night right here in Matthews, North Carolina, kind of a suburb of Charlotte.
Yep.
And it's been one of the coolest things I've been able to do. And I've got some really fun news coming out probably within the next couple of months that I think will be something that will make a little news in the wrestling world, which will be phenomenal. I'll have to share that with you when I can.
Right.
But other than that, everything's good. Yes, sir.
Okay. That is great. Of course, we're at, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, where for as little as $4.50 a month, you get early releases of these episodes, episodes without commercials, and, of course, the entire archive of all 333 shows now, including bonus materials like the one Lodi, like the bonus match Lodi and I taped before we did this. And also, please help us out. Leave us a 5, 6, or 7-star review on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever your favorite pods are cast. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Evan Courageous, Berlin, Rick Steiner, Van Hammer, or Little Nature Boy Charles Robinson, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or check out your local library app, because they're all in books. Now, I didn't feed you the line in advance, Lodi, but it is same way back time, same playback channel. So where is everybody going to be next week, Lodi?
Same way back time, same playback channel.
That's right. We will be doing this again. I want to thank you for being on this week, Lodi. We think we have somebody special lined up for next week. Plus, there'll be more Jim Valley, and I know we could I'll use that. It was great to have Jim on the show here at the top of the broadcast. But until then, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.